Good morning, everyone. This is Adam McCulloch, Associate Pastor with Ambassador. We're so thankful you've taken the time to listen this morning. Thanks again for your flexibility during this very challenging time. We know that it's not ideal to be home alone or with a small group on Sunday mornings, but really in light of the current health crisis, we do think it's better not to gather together. As a reminder, our worship services for today, March the 1st, and next Sunday, March the 8th, are canceled. So don't come to the Conrad next Sunday morning. Ambassador will not be meeting. After March 8th, though, the elders will go ahead and reassess the current situation, and then we'll provide you with further information at that time. So again, thanks for your patience and your flexibility. Do be praying for Ambassador. Pray for Hong Kong. Pray that the Lord would use this crisis for his purposes and that he would just show mercy on all of us. Today, we are going to be continuing in our sermon series through Hebrews chapter 11. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, which focused on Noah's faith. Today, we're going to go ahead and focus on Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16, which is Abraham's faith. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. I'm going to go ahead and read our text. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I want to go ahead and start today's message with a quote. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I'll read it again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So what does this quote mean? Let me just briefly explain it. It means that you are wise if you are willing to give up what you can't keep. What can't you keep? Money, possessions, friendships. We can't take those things with us to the grave. But we ultimately can't keep our lives either. Death is a certainty. Unless Jesus comes back first, it will happen to us. So it's wise to be willing to give up our lives so that you will gain that which you cannot lose. What can you not lose? Well, you can't lose eternal life with Christ. It's secure. Faith in Christ gives us an inheritance that cannot be taken away. Nothing can snatch away what is ours in Christ. So it's wise to give up our lives here in order to have life and an inheritance with God in the world to come. It's not a foolish investment strategy to give away something you are certainly going to lose in order to get something of supreme value that can't ever be taken away from you. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now, this quote was said by a young American missionary named Jim Elliot. Perhaps some of you have heard of him. And Jim Elliot, he really was a man who was passionate about taking the gospel to those who had never heard. And in the early 1950s, after he graduated from college, he moved to Ecuador. he and several other his friends began focusing on one of the local indigenous groups. And Elliot and his friends really were gripped by God's promises to save peoples who had not yet heard about Christ. Specifically, texts such as Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that indicate that Christ's death purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Elliot and his friends believed that God wanted to save the Aucca tribe in the jungles of Ecuador. So they gave up their homes and their lives in the U.S. and they moved to Ecuador. They learned the language, they made attempts to befriend the Aucas, that was the name of the tribe, and after what looked like some initial success in gaining friendship with them, Elliot and his friends were suddenly and unexpectedly murdered by the tribesmen. Elliot and his friends paid the ultimate price. They gave up their lives for the sake of taking the gospel to those who didn't know him. They lost their lives here, but they gained eternal life, which couldn't be taken away. In our text today, what we're going to see is faith means that we obey God's word by giving up our lives in this world to receive something better that God has promised to us. Now, if you remember from last week, if you were at the Conrad last week or listening online, you may remember there's a very easy structure to see to many of the examples listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. The examples all start out with the words by faith. So that's what we're supposed to take away from this chapter. Once we read Hebrews 11, we ought to take away the fact that we're supposed to have faith in Christ. It starts out by faith. Well, the second part of the structure is that a name is listed. So we see by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. The author is giving us all these examples, all these different people who believed in God's word. We are not alone. Many people have gone before us in trusting God in difficult circumstances. And the structure in Hebrews 11 also shows us this. Faith involves an action. Faith shows itself by doing something, by expressing itself. Faith acts. So if you read through the examples, you see Abel offered to God a sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. Abraham obeyed and went. Faith calls us to obey. Well, let's go ahead and look at the cost involved with faith and obedience. But first, though, genuine faith is always based on God's word. God graciously revealed himself to Abraham. God didn't have to speak to Abraham, but he did. The book of Joshua tells us that Abraham's father, Terah, worshipped other gods. So Abraham's family did not know the Lord. But God graciously spoke to him. We see that in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to go ahead and read those verses. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So God tells Abraham, leave his home, because God's going to give him something better. God is going to bless him in many ways. Well, how did Abraham respond? Well, first, we clearly see he obeyed and left his own. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So he obeyed God's word. He was committed to God's word, even though he didn't know where he was going. After he left his home, God would reveal the specific place he was to go. But when he set out, he didn't know where he was going. When he was wandering in the land of Canaan, God would speak to him again. But initially, he just didn't know where he was supposed to go. Abraham was faithful to the clear revelation and command that God had told him. He still followed God, even though he didn't have the full picture. Faith responds to God's word. Faith results in obedience, even when we're unsure of what it will look like. You know, as Christians, we really should be comfortable with the unknown nature of this life. We can't control everything. We can't know everything. And when we attempt to control everything, all we usually get is anxiety. You can have peace in your life now, though, if you're trusting and obeying what God has clearly said. You know, we need to live our lives with an open hand, open to the providence of God in our lives. You know, one good thing about this coronavirus trial is that we're reminded that much of our lives, it's really just not under our control at all. And all God requires of us is to obey what he's clearly said in his word and not to worry about the things that he hasn't said. Obey God's word even though you don't know what lies ahead. Okay, another point that we see here from Abraham's faith. Faith and obedience require sacrifice. Faith and obedience require sacrifice. Personal sacrifice of the things of this world is just a very clear major theme you see throughout God's word. And it's also highlighted a lot here in Hebrews chapter 11. So just a couple examples. Moses would give up his identity as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Later on in the chapter, others are tortured and stoned and lose their lives. So we clearly see faith and obedience involve sacrifice. And for Abraham, you know, faith was going to require him to sacrifice his home and his relationships. He would have to give up lots of things. Now, he did get to take his wife, his nephew, and his possessions, but he had to leave many things behind. Martin Luther said this about Abraham. It was hard to leave his native land, which is natural for us to love. Indeed, love for the fatherland is numbered among the greatest virtues of the non-believer. Furthermore, it is hard to leave friends and their companionship, but most of all to leave relatives. And then it is clear that with his obedience of faith, Abraham gave up a supreme example, or gave a supreme example of an evangelical life, because he left everything and followed the Lord, preferring the word of God to everything and loving the word of God above everything. If you want to follow God's word, you will have to give up much in this life. Obedience also required Abraham to live a nomadic life as a foreigner and a stranger. We see that in verse 9. I'm going to go ahead and read that. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. They had to live in tents. They weren't yet permanent residents. They knew that God had promised that this was going to be their land one day, but it wasn't yet theirs. They were foreigners. They were strangers. They knew that they were different from the people in the land. The people around them knew that they were different. They probably never felt completely settled. Perhaps many of us here and listening today, perhaps we can relate to this. You know, many of us here are foreigners in Hong Kong. We might not feel like this is our home. We've left our home countries and we're here now. We might look different. We speak different languages potentially than the people here. Or if you're from Hong Kong, perhaps you've been a foreigner somewhere else. You know, living as a foreigner means that you don't completely fit in. And Abraham and his descendants lived as strangers and foreigners in the land. But he knew God wanted him there. And he was really willing to sacrifice and embrace hardship because he was looking forward to what God would provide for him. He knew God had promised him something. Verse 10, he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So, just want you to just think about this question. Ask yourself this question. Is there anything standing in between you and following God's word today? What is God calling you to give up in order to follow him? Is it some kind of possession? Perhaps it's a love for money. Perhaps it's an obsession with your career. Is it a friendship that's not a healthy relationship for you? A relationship that's actually causing you to sin rather than following God? Perhaps it's your family. You know, obeying God's word means that you give up whatever is standing between you and God. And you really need to do this quickly. Time in this life is short. Remember Eliot's quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let's be willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of following God's word. Okay, let's go ahead now and look at the reward of Abraham's faith and obedience. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the first couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 11. If you think of verse 6, we remember that faith looks forward to the reward. And it's an essential aspect of faith, is looking forward to being rewarded. Well, Abraham's faith would also be rewarded. Abraham would see the beginning of these promises fulfilled. He would see the faithfulness of God in his life. He would have a child. He would see the magnificent, almighty power of God in his life. Verses 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham was 99 years old when he had Isaac. Sarah was 90 years old. Now, normally speaking, the body isn't able to bear children at that stage of life. But nothing is impossible with God. God promised a child, and it came to pass. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Wow, how we need to remember that. Nothing is impossible with God. Abraham and his descendants would also get to live in the land. Now, they weren't owners yet. They would still be nomads. They lived in tents, and it would still be more than 400 years before their descendants would own the land. But they did get to live in the land. Abraham did experience the beginning of God's faithfulness to his word. He knew God was faithful to do as he said. But Abraham, as well as the others already mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, wouldn't experience the complete fulfillment of the promises. That's what our text says today. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. He wouldn't see his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. The Canaanites were still in the land. God did reward his faith, but he wouldn't see it all come to pass. He would die in faith. Faith is required throughout one's life, even to the point of death, and at times you won't see the end result of what God's doing. Abraham knew that God was good. He would keep his word, even if he didn't understand how it would work out. You know, we need to be people who recognize that we may not see the fulfillment of our prayers. We might not see the end result of what we feel as though God wants to do in our lives. But that doesn't mean that something's gone wrong. God moves in mysterious ways. His ways are often hidden from us. And at times he completes his plans involving us after we have passed away. Now, some of you may be familiar with George Mueller. George Mueller was an evangelist, an orphanage director in England in the 1800s. He was also quite the prayer warrior. If you've ever read his biography, it's just filled with stories of God miraculously answering his prayers. The Lord often answered them in amazing ways. And at one point in his life, Mueller began to pray for a group of five friends. He prayed for them frequently. After 5 years, one of them came to Christ. After 10 years of praying for them, two more of them came to Christ. After 25 years, the fourth man was saved. And for the fifth, he prayed until the time of his death. And that fifth friend came to Christ a few months after Mueller died. So, Mueller died. He didn't see his prayer completely answered. But the Lord rewarded his faith after he was gone. We should be people who are always praying, always believing, keeping obeying God's word and trusting in him all the way up to the very end. We just don't know how he's going to bring about his purposes. Abraham could accept death because he knew that God would do what he said, even if he wasn't there to see it happen. And Abraham was ultimately looking for something greater. If you look at verses 14 through 16. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. He saw that God's promise was better than his homeland. He saw that the promised land really just represented a greater heavenly reality. He ultimately was longing for a heavenly home. He didn't just want a big piece of land, as nice as it might be, on the Mediterranean coast. He longed for the fulfillment of God's promises in the new heavens and the new earth. Last week when I was preaching, I quoted Albert Mohler. He's a speaker, an author, and he writes this in his commentary on Hebrews. Abraham was not just looking forward to inheriting the land of Canaan. He was looking beyond Canaan to what it foreshadowed, the city of heaven coming to earth and God's restoration of creation. Abraham framed his entire existence by living in anticipation of the fact that God would be faithful to his promises. Abraham was longing for something better than this world. And because of this, Abraham lived as a stranger and exile. He was constantly making choices and living in such a way that showed that he lived somewhere else. He certainly enjoyed the blessings of family. He enjoyed the blessing of his friends and his possessions that God had given him. But he knew that those things were not primary. They weren't ultimate. One commentator writes, he was grateful for the possessions that he had, and he knew that one day his descendants would have this land. But nothing on this temporary earth could be their main goal. In their hearts, they had already left it all. Only the eternal city could be their goal. You know, we don't want to settle down in this world in such a way that makes us really indistinguishable from our neighbors and other people around us. We have to remember we're on pilgrimage here. We're on pilgrimage. We're just passing through on our way to our true home. And as a result of his faith, Abraham was rewarded with God's favor. That's what we see there in verse 16. The final part of verse 16 says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now this is the best reward of Abraham's faith. He ended up receiving God's favor. God is not ashamed of him. God is happy to be associated with Abraham. Abraham's faith was pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, he receives us and grants us access into his kingdom. So long for the future reality of the heavenly city. Let this current crisis cause us to sever any remaining ties or spiritual allegiances that we might have to this world. God, I really believe God is shaking the very things we may trust in, whether that's government, whether that's health, whether that's finances. He's really wanting us to be careful that we don't settle down in this world. For those of us here in Hong Kong, you know, God has been speaking very loudly to us in the last year about how we ought to long for our life to come. He's been using a megaphone to speak to us. First, it was the protests. Now, it's the virus situation. And we really ought to listen. We ought to ask, what is God trying to do in our lives? How is he trying to help us to look forward to the life to come? And besides these problems, you know, there's also the various individual trials that each of us may face. I know many of you are facing unprecedented challenges right now, such as getting laid off from work or financial pressures or having family members who are suffering. Some of you are wandering around the world like nomads, as Abraham and his family did. But if we keep our faith in God, we can learn much about his purposes and ourselves. In his kindness, he's reminding us to not get too comfortable here. He's telling us there's something better, a better city, a heavenly home that can't be shaken and is completely secure. So we should learn from Abraham's example of faith. We should believe in God's promises And what's the promise that God has made to us? Well, he's made many, for sure, but it includes the promise that he's preparing a home for us. You may recall Jesus' words to his disciples in John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus promises us, if we repent of our sins and come to him, our sins will be completely wiped away, they'll be completely forgiven, and we'll be reconciled with God, and he'll come to take us to be with him forever. At the beginning, I mentioned the story of Jim Elliot. Elliot and his friends would die trying to take the gospel to the Aka tribe. He died in faith, believing that God wanted to save them, but he never saw them come to know the Lord. The story, though, didn't end with his death. After his death, Jim's wife, Elizabeth, would continue the effort to evangelize the tribe and win them to Christ. And about 2 years later, Elizabeth and her young daughter, along with another one of the widows, would actually move back into Aka territory to win them to Christ. What amazing, brave, faith-filled women. And eventually, the Lord used them, and many in the Aka tribe came to know the Lord. The entire tribe eventually was transformed by the gospel. It was an amazing act of God's grace on these people. Jim Elliot died without seeing God's promise fulfilled. And after he died, God's promise came to pass. Let's imitate the Elliot's faith, even though we don't know how God is working in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story of Abraham. We thank you that you have promised us something better. We thank you that you've promised us a heavenly city. A heavenly home where there is no more suffering, no more disease, and no more death. We pray, Father, that you would help us from being too attached to this world and keep reminding us of the better life that you have for all of us who trust in you. We do pray, Father, for Ambassador at this time. We pray that you would increase our faith. We pray that you would keep us from despair. We pray that you would strengthen us as we stay in our homes, as we live out our lives in these very challenging times. Help us to be filled with love for you and to have increasing love for one another. We pray for Hong Kong in the health crisis. We pray that you would protect us from getting the disease. We pray also that you would heal those who do have it. And we pray that you would use this crisis for your glory. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you again for listening online today. On Wednesday afternoon, we sent out an email that included the material that was intended to be used during the Wednesday evening prayer meeting. If you are gathering together with others to listen and pray together this morning, you can use the material in the email as a prayer guide. So feel free to use that as a help. If you do have any pastoral needs during these times, please let us know. We are here for you. Please feel free to email me or John, Jeanette, or anyone on staff. And please know that we are praying for Ambassador during these times. Again, thanks for taking the time to listen.